Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Obviously...
Happy anniversary, my dear. Happy anniversary.
They tried, but they couldn't do it. No one is going to stop this, my one-year anniversary show, from going down. I'm Tom O'Neill with my man Steve Baxley, and we got a lot to talk about, obviously, because we're two big mouths. But right off the top, I picked the Carolina Panthers. Who say you?
My heart wants to see Peyton go out on top, but I got a feeling after media night, the lights are going to be on in my old Carolina home.
What in particular happened tonight on media night?
Well, I got to tell you, Carolina seemed more hungry while talking to
than
Denver. Denver was more, well, to do it justice, was more, we are here in Super Bowl.
Oh, stop. Oh, that was a good one. So what you say, from what you saw tonight, Carolina treated this as, we are so glad to be here. And Denver treated it as a business trip.
Yeah. Carolina treated this as, you finally went to the mountaintop and you saw the light of the great man, Mr. Lombardi. And he smiled upon you and said, you are now here. You got Denver walking that mountaintop going, eh, we've been here before. Eh, it's okay.
Whatever. 2 times in 3 years, no big deal. But
I'm going to say, Carolina, it's going to be the closest game ever in Super Bowl history. Now
would you dare say the old word?
I'm going to say
as
it. If no one scores in the last 2 minutes, you're going to be seeing overtime in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that would make some hearts skip a beat.
That would make the president of CBS Sports just go bananas. That would make the president of CBS Entertainment and CBS period go running naked through Central Park saying,
people don't do it anyway.
I'm just going to say, get ready for the closest Super Bowl, everyone. This is the one that CBS dreamed about.
Oh my goodness.
Dreamed about, and either way, if it was New England going up against Carolina, this is going to be the Super Bowl that's going to be most watched, most DVR'd.
It's already the most expensive Super Bowl ticket ever.
Oh, my. The way they're spending money right and left, you would have thought somebody had bought CBS.
Oh, boy, I tell you. And it's only going to get more and more hype as Sunday gets closer. I still feel like Super Sunday should be a legal holiday because it's treated like a legal holiday right now. I mean, you got people buying state-of-the-art TVs just to watch this game. fast food restaurants bringing in extra people just to fix the extra food that's going to be needed for all these hungry people wanting to stay at home and watch the game, which, by the way, is not a bad idea.
Oh, of course not. But, oh, man. I mean, you got the games going to be on CBS.
Yep.
And for the first time ever, because CBS doesn't have a Spanish language network, they're going to give ESPN Deportes the Spanish language right.
And ESPN Deportes is getting promoted like hell on the network.
Oh, the mothership.
There's going to be so much money that's going to be oozing from this Super Bowl.
I know 50 years only comes once in a human's lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
In a television network or a sports network's lifetime, this is like reaching the ultimate broadcast Valhalla.
You say Nirvana?
They have not only hit Nirvana, but if the late night, when the overnights come in, I have a feeling history will be made, if not matched.
I think it's going to be broke. I think history is going to be shattered. I mean, you could put the Little Sisters of the Poor against whatever team you want to put them up against in a Super Bowl, and it would still shatter not attendance records, but money records, betting records, TV ratings.
It's going to be
hot. Yeah, so we got two votes for the Carolina Panthers. If you would like to join in on the conversation, even weigh in on who you think should take Vince home, the phone number to join us is area code 347-850-8891. Now, well, we got a lot of football talk aside from the Super Bowl that we need to get to. Obviously, we'll get to just a little bit of wrestling talk later because there wasn't really that much happening. They're trying to promote this Fastlane pay-per-view, but from what I saw tonight, we just keep talking football.
However, we got two breaking stories. Okay, our first breaking news story is Awesome Kong is out of Impact Wrestling.
I didn't know she was in.
After an incident that took place during TNA's England tour, Awesome
Ooh.
Kong was... a fight, of course, between Awesome Kong and Gontrad Fine, and one of the other knockouts. TNA has decided.
I thought it was a man. Might be over a man.
Apparently, the mess up in England has cost Awesome Kong her job.
That's no great
loss. She got a little mad at Rebby Sky, the real-life wife of the world champion. It's not Jeff Hardy. Oh, it's another Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah, Matt Hardy's wife, Rebby Sky, and Awesome Kong had a nice little, well, I wouldn't say nice, but shall we say
no.
A little off-kilter discussion, in quotes.
Awesome Kong is bigger than I am, so that tells you something.
So it kind of looks like Austin Kong is gone from TNA. This may be a storyline. This may not be. But apparently they're taking this as gospel. Awesome Kong out. And also, those of you who are watching Raw, it is not a storyline, ladies and gentlemen. Very big major news story taking place. Bret Hart Bret Hart has said that he is fighting the big C, prostate cancer.
And as far as that goes, me and Steve obviously give our very best thoughts to the Hitman.
This is true.
Wow.
That's your breaking news in pro wrestling.
We have the feeling that cancer doesn't have a chance with Bret Hart.
No, he is going to put cancer in the sharpshooter. Meanwhile,
and cancer will give.
That's right. And meanwhile, I wish somebody would have given last rites to tonight's Raw. That's about all. let's put it this way: you're trying to pump up or pimp up the your next pay.
I like that one. Pimp up. Yeah, let's pimp it up.
Yeah, to pimp up Fastlane. Somebody should just put it out of its misery. That's Raw in a nutshell. They had a good. They had one of their best shows last week.
Before we since we're talking about tonight's Raw, and we'll get back to football, because there are a few more items I would like to get to. Did you see all the empty seats in that arena tonight?
There's
good
so many.
Good Lord.
I mean, you know my old joke. I mean, they sold out the arena if you happen to be a chair.
And the crowd was so dead.
You would have thought it was an episode of The Walking Dead.
Man, I don't think Raw will be coming back to Birmingham anytime soon.
No.
Or as New Day called it, Booty Ham.
Oh. I mean, it was just. Ugh. I mean,
and it was not like that we were trying to hide the empty seats.
No.
Because there's only so much hiding you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I know a couple of people who wish they were in hiding, mainly in creative.
They're still creative in WWE? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Anyway, let's get back to the real sports world. We'll touch on what we didn't touch on later on.
Yeah, let's get back to football because, oh boy, the circle is complete! Oh, for those of you who haven't heard, let's start the Wayback Machine, shall we, to 1960-whatever, and the first truly world championship of football known as Super Bowl I or One. Who, my friend Tom O'Neill, who were the broadcasters of Super Bowl I for the record?
CBS and NBC.
Let us now fast forward to the year 2016, February 1st.
CBS and NBC.
Who just became owners of Thursday Night Football? You got
CBS,
it.
NBC with a side of NFL Network.
That's right. CBS and NBC got the blessing, as we reported on this little program here. Happy first anniversary, Tom. We broke news.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
I find it interesting, Steve, that all this came down just as conversations between NFL and Fox heated up for the Thursday night package.
Oh, boy, were they heated, but they didn't get heated up too much. And so...
No, it didn't.
And so the brothers who begat Super Bowl I now begat Thursday Night Football with a little twist. That's right. The first half of the gathering will be done by CBS, its own people, its own broadcasters, and, of course, simulcast by the NFL Network. And then the second half of the deal, we'll see NBC use their own people, their own production crew, and, of course, simulcast on the NFL Network. It is a win-win. And win.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's
Because all of us fans get two extra games on two different networks. I don't know what's going to happen with the other six games. It'll probably be exclusively on NFL Network, but
this is true.
That's the only thing I think. You know, we got two extra games out of it, but we'll take it.
That's right, and I guess we might as well say give the devils their due. What was once owned by ABC is now owned by two, CBS and NBC. We can now say it. They literally own NFL football.
I find it interesting, honey.
Well, when you look at it, Fox owns Sunday afternoon NFL football.
Right.
CBS can now lay claim to the following. They now own Sunday afternoon NFL football plus Thursday night football. NBC can now say, we now own the night as well, Thursday night and Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine when NBC gets the second half of that deal? You imagine the publicity that network is going to have owning not
it's
just one, but two?
It's unimaginable.
Oh, boy.
The rich get richer.
That's right, and we get more and more hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and the fans love it.
Yes, they do. And when the fans love it, the dollar signs flow for the NFL.
Oh, yes.
And let's see, there are two more items I want to get to football related that happened within the last 24 hours. Megatron retires.
Wow.
Calvin Johnson, 9 years in the NFL, even though his production has diminished over the last 3 years, was still the best wide threat the Detroit Lions have. And he just said, I've had enough. And it brings us back to a similar situation back in the day when Hall of Famer Barry Sanders said, I've had enough. What do those two things have in common? They were both number one draft picks by the Detroit Lions, and they played for the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders won a playoff game for the Detroit Lions. I think the bottom line is there is still a losing culture in that organization. Now, granted, Martha Firestone Ford has done her best to change the fortunes, but it is deep-rooted in that organization. And when you consider Calvin Johnson has taken a lot of hits, making a lot of catches, even the one that should have counted way back in the day, but it didn't. We have a rule in the NFL rule book directly related to a Calvin Johnson catch or not catch that has decided a couple of playoff games. So I don't know. The Lions are going to have a huge hole to fill for the Calvin Johnson departure, and I don't think there is anyone on that team that can fill it. Because Calvin Johnson was a big target. He made himself big. He was athletic enough to catch uncatchable footballs. And you're just going to miss out on the athleticism that man brings. And even though, you know, he's only 30 years old. I mean, to just leave. I mean, and it was pointed out on SportsCenter tonight, if Calvin Johnson played for the New England Patriots, he'd still be playing. If he played for the New York Football Giants, he'd still be playing. I even think if he played for the Green Bay Packers, he'd still be playing. It's just the culture of the Detroit Lions. The every year you go in the training camp thinking you're going to get a losing record. And most of the time it happens. I'm sure Calvin Johnson, unlike a lot of athletes we know, put away a lot of his money where he can live the rest of his life and not play another down of football. But it's just such a shame. Such a great talent. Just said sayonara. And now, and also, and I know this is tip money to the Lions, but it still has to be taken care of. If he retires, and I think he has to pay the Lions $2.3 million back in signing bonus.
I mean,
I'm sure the Lions would say, for what you've done for us, you can keep the money, but that's not the way it works.
I mean, I will tell you this. Right now, the Detroit Lions, they're trying to spin this, and it ain't working.
You mean like Sarah Palin's spin?
Mm-hmm. They're trying to. they're saying, that report is inaccurate. That report is wrong, brother. When it came from Terry Foster, 97 won the ticket. Before even ESPN got a hold of it, I think it was very much told in stone, set in stone, Calvin Johnson.
I think they were trying to delay this for Super Bowl week, but, you know, it came out.
That's right. Now the big question comes. You've now not only got one big hole to fill, but possibly even two holes to fill.
As in Matthew Stafford?
No, as in the guy that was supposed to sort of fill the big hole from Ndamukong Suh, Mr. Nagata, I do believe his name is.
Oh, okay, the former Raven that was full that came in to fill the hole of Ndamukong Suh, and he turned out to be a, pardon the pun here, a big bust.
Yes, and He wants to still remain with the Lions, but are the Lions really wanting to bring him back after the flop of a season he had?
They may not have a choice.
I got to agree with you. They may not have a choice. I mean, there's no one literally out there who can fill
mm-hmm.
the shoes of Ndamukong Suh.
Mm-hmm. And if they cut Nagata, guess where he probably go back to? Baltimore.
Oh, yes.
Because they need some defensive help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other story, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, yeah, they need defensive help. The Lions just need help.
Amen. And another story that's come out within today is there is a new player in the Mark Davis currently open Raiders saga.
Ooh.
And it's coming out of a place that previously you don't think of when it comes to Major League Professional Sports. the fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. The story is, and you know Las Vegas got money, rolling in money. They're growing by leaps and bounds. They're going to get an NHL team within the next 2 years. They're putting up $1 billion to build a dome stadium for the new NFL team proposed and everything else that comes with these days, new dome stadiums, you know, like Final Fours. And it's talking about building it on land, it on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. But you know there is money on top of money in Las Vegas that can get that stadium built. And they would love to have the Raiders. And, you know, there was a stigma way back in the day that, you know, you can't get put a professional team in Las Vegas because of all the gaming and all the books and things like that. Seems like that is starting to relent itself because we know how in bed the NFL is with gambling anyway. I mean, the second best place to watch the Super Bowl is in Las Vegas.
That's right. And, hey, I mean, I know Las Vegas, you got the sports books, you got the gambling, and the NFL is trying to sort of distance themselves from it.
But they can't.
Let me just say this. Mr. Goodell, stop fighting it. If the NHL, if Major League Baseball can somehow find a common thread, surely, Mr. Goodell, so too can the NFL.
I think they got 4 conference basketball tournaments that happens in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Roger Goodell is a hypocrite if he thinks that, you know, it's going to be bad business to operate out of Las Vegas. Because, I mean, barn door has been open already.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hypocritical. And I think Mark Davis is more or less doing this to keep the pressure on the city of Oakland. Because let's remember, San Diego and Oakland has $300 million on the table to stay where they are. Each. And it looks like San Diego is going to use this year to try to get a deal out there to get a new stadium built. And I think that's going to happen now. But Oakland can't afford it.
Nope.
So, you know, in order to keep the fire on the city of Oakland, they have to keep coming up with scenarios that they can move to. They can't move to San Antonio because Jeremy is not going to let them do it.
Nope.
And San Diego, moving to San Diego, depends upon if the Chargers leave to go to L.A. So Mark Davis has to have pressure, has to always have an ace in the hole. And I think Las Vegas is a viable ace in the hole.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's now 11:29, and we're going into my version of the Afterglow. And I forgot the candles, so we'll just have to keep going.
Oh, I tell you one thing. I will be so glad when all is said and done and the Super Bowl finally begins.
And Johnny Manziel, the day after the Super Bowl, becomes a former Cleveland Brown.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say unemployed. I think he will clear waivers. Let's say it like that, and then he'll be a free agent. But my point is, even with all this BS he's doing, with beating up alleged. I'm sorry, I have to say it. Allegedly, Jada Brain would tell me to say this. And his alleged beating of his ex-girlfriend, and then having police helicopters hunt him down.
Oh, brother.
How can you owe it to your fan base, and Cleveland has a very good fan base, even though they have crappy teams. How can you, in good conscience, even think about keeping this guy? 1201 Johnny Manziel should be waived. And I we talked about this earlier. I think he's not that stupid. I think he's doing this to have the Browns waive him.
Yes,
because I think if Jerry Jones can bring a convicted felon on his defensive line with the Dallas Cowboys, Greg Hardy makes Johnny Manziel look like a choir boy.
Oy.
I think he's thinking that, oh, Jerry's going to scoop me up when I become a free agent. But if it wasn't for a person called RG3, I would say, yeah. I think RG3 will be a Dallas Cowboy in 8 days.
I will agree. I think Johnny Manziel stays in Cleveland. Done.
Mm-hmm.
I would let either Dallas or Washington grabs him.
Are you drinking something?
Are you
high? They're dumping one problem and they're going to take on another one? At least the one problem they dumped, he didn't get drunk so that the team put him on the inactive list.
I'm just seeing how I think it's going to happen. But you want to know something? I'm going to stick my neck out and say he's going to Dallas.
Yeah, because, let's remember who owns and runs the Dallas Cowboys. Like, he cares what we think.
Yeah, he's got the money.
Yeah, and that will definitely keep the Dallas Cowboys on sports talk radio if he brings in Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yes.
And I think, although I think RG3 is more talented than Johnny Manziel, he doesn't bring in the buzz. He was in a no-win situation in Washington, but at least he kept his name out of the police blotter. But Jerry Jones doesn't care.
All right, look at the folks that Jerry Jones has. I mean, he'd fit in.
I don't think he would fit in. I think he's going to be more like the outcast of outcasts. He's there's an end game here with Johnny Manziel. And let's just say it like this. It won't be in Cleveland because the owner refused to talk about him. And the head coach hasn't met with him yet. And when Hugh Jackson took the Cleveland job, the first question he asked before he took the job was, am I tied in the hip with Johnny Manziel? And the team said, that's not a problem. No.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very interesting 7 days from now when the Super Bowl is over and you start seeing a lot of these people with huge contracts get waived. Well, we know one for sure, and I would like to say two for certain, but I just think that I will believe Johnny Manziel is waived when I see it. I know RG3 is gone because they got to use a lot of that cap money that they were going to pay him to sign Kirk Cousins, because he's a free agent after the Super Bowl.
Oh, and they better pay him. Somebody else does.
Yeah, they got to do that. So even after the Super Bowl, the NFL has made the business a year-round business, and there's no more of an example than this year. Hail to the Panthers, and like you say, I hope we see a good game. I hope we, it sets all kinds of records, and I don't know if there's a scenario in Vegas where people make a prop bet and bet on overtime, but that's the one prop bet I would make if I could. Overtime.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I want to see it. I want to see it so bad.
Yeah, and then you're gonna have all the announcers do all kinds of overtime scenarios. It's never been in the Super Bowl. It's the current rules where you get the chance of the ball unless the defense lets in a touchdown. I don't think there's anything wrong with the overtime rules. I mean, it's just sour grapes where it's not fair. We didn't get the ball. Why didn't your defense stop them? Just like with Cam Newton. Just like what Cam Newton says, if you don't like my dancing, stop us. Stop us. And when he said that, I said, then I said, it's okay. He's okay. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The ugly, I mean, and we will be going after this. It's just old school, new school. It can't get any more black and white, if you know what I mean. I'm not just talking about the jersey colors. You're having all these people that have nothing better to do on sports radio than to be talking about how Cam Newton plays. It was just Peyton Manning's last game. Peyton Manning has one more game left than him. It can't be just that a lot of people don't like how Cam Newton plays because it's Cam Newton. It's different. It's exciting. People will watch, and that's another reason why a lot of people are going to be watching the Super Bowl, because want to see Cam Newton play. And there are some demented people that would like to see Cam Newton get knocked out of the game.
Ooh.
But in case you don't know, Cam Newton is built like a linebacker. I mean, he is not a frail quarterback. He plays quarterback different.
Mm-hmm.
His team loves him. His coaches love him. His owner adores him. He alone has a worldwide fan base. And a lot of people don't like that. He doesn't toe the line like everybody else does. He is his own person. And I say to that, more power to him.
Oh, yes. More power.
More power to him, man. I just think that, let's just say Peyton Manning has seen better days. And I hope he plays a memorable game Sunday. But I think this is, like he told Bill Belichick at the playoff game after the game, this is my last rodeo. This might be my last rodeo. People don't talk last rodeos unless it is the last rodeo.
True.
And it'll be, can you imagine next year it'll be Brock Osweiler's team?
Oh, boy. And if it is, if it is Peyton Manning's last rodeo, it's been a thrill.
It has been. I mean, but it's not just his football skills that'll be missed. It's his pop culture skills. I mean, you came on this show doing the Nationwide commercial. He has the Papa John's commercials. I remember him from the MasterCard commercials when he first started. I still think they're the funniest ones.
They still are.
Yes, they are. Time's up, Steve. 1 year down, a couple of more to go, many to go. I'd like to thank you, Steve, for being there all the way. And thanks to all the listeners who have been there, whether it be live or on demand. We will do this again next Monday. We'll start of year two on this show. And obviously we will review Super Bowl 50 in our own inimitable way. And I will join Steve Friday night on the Last Call Cafe with Lut Nut 6 on Blog Talk Radio starting at 11:30. Until then, Steve, I will talk to you then. And for everybody else, thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. And we'll try this again next week. Take care.